Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're evaluating Microsoft and Apple stock ahead of their upcoming earnings releases later this week. But before we get into everything, remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you're listening to your podcasts, and make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. All right, so we're about a week away from the election, and stocks are falling on Monday morning on broader coronavirus concerns, but we aren't going to dive into any of those unknowns today. Instead, we're going to focus on the earnings season and see what to expect from some of the biggest names in tech. So before we drive into Microsoft and Apple, we're just going to take a quick look at the broader earnings picture and outlook to give people a better sense of what's going on with these two big tech giants. So overall, the Q3 earnings outlook for the S&P 500 is expected to improve from what we saw in the second quarter. And the results we've seen so far very much show this to be the case. So overall, our Zacks estimates are calling for Q3 S&P 500 earnings to slip just over 17% from the year ago period, with revenue expected to slip about 2.2%. And this would mark a big improvement from Q2, where earnings fell over 32% and revenue declined by 9%. And then this is trending in the right direction, with Q4 expected to dip just 12% on the bottom line on 0.6% lower revenue. And then we're expected to return to growth in Q1 of fiscal 2021 with 11% earnings growth and 3% stronger revenue. So that's the broader earnings picture. And then if we look at the annual picture, we're calling for 19.5% bottom line decline on the bottom line in 2020 on 4.5% lower revenue. And this is obviously taking into account all of the coronavirus setbacks. And then if we look ahead to 2021, we're calling for a big bounce back, 24% growth on the bottom line on 7.6% higher revenues compared to what we're calling for this year. So that is showing that the economy, at least for these big five S&P 500 companies, are trending in the right direction. And then we should also know that tech continues to play a very large role. So if we look at the tech sector as a whole, we should note that five companies, including the two we're talking about today, so Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google parent, Alphabet, and Microsoft, combined account for about 17% of the total market capitalization of the S&P 500 index, which is behind only the broader tech sector's weight in the index of about 32%, and it's above all the other S&P 500 sectors combined, including finance, which is only at 12%. So just those five companies account for about 17%. So this helps give a perspective of some of these companies are still hurting in the S&P 500, especially the travel, energy, hospitality sector, all of those hard-hit coronavirus sectors. So with this in mind, the broader tech sector of the market in the S&P 500 is expected to dip 3.2% on the bottom line this quarter on 4.6% higher revenue. So that shows that we're calling for a much smaller decline for the tech sector and actually growth on the top line for this broader tech sector. And this helps lead us right into two of the biggest names in the market that are reporting this week. And the first is Microsoft. The company has lagged the broader tech space over the last 6 months, which is a change of pace for the stock, which had outpaced even the broader group of FANG stocks over the past several years until the coronavirus downturn. So despite this underperformance, Microsoft stock is up over 35% in 2020, and it is still built for this remote work world and is prepared to thrive in our cloud future. So we're going to dive into what to expect from Microsoft and take a broader look at the company with it set to release what is its Q1 fiscal 2021 results after the closing bell on Tuesday, October 27th. So after the bell on Tuesday. So with this in mind, Microsoft's Office offerings remain vital to businesses, students, many others. Its Office 365 suite is one of those invaluable offerings to millions of people. So last quarter, its Office 365 commercial revenue jumped about 19%. The pandemic also highlighted the importance of its stay-at-home segments. such as Teams, which now competes against Zoom Video and Slack and others. And meanwhile, the company's gaming unit continues to grow within the constantly expanding global gaming space. We should also note that that Xbox content and services revenue soared 65% last quarter, and its next generation Xbox is due out this holiday season. And it's recently increased its bet on the gaming industry with a $7.5 billion purchase of ZeniMax Media. So also, along with all this, Microsoft's broader consumer product space, which includes its Surface line of laptops and tablets, saw its overall revenue jump 14% last quarter. And this is as people continue to adapt to that work remote and school environment. And the firm also continues to make acquisitions such as LinkedIn and GitHub and other big names. And we have smaller purchases all the time for Microsoft. So, and on top of all that, it's become a leader in the ever-expanding and continually vital cloud computing market, where it's a top player in the industry alongside Amazon Web Services. So all of this has helped Microsoft continue to grow at a solid pace over the last several years. And the company saw its Q4 sales jump 13% amid the height of the pandemic, with its intelligent cloud unit as the top performer, up 17%. So now if we look back, Microsoft revenue has climbed by roughly 14% for three straight years, including that recent expansion this past year. And then if we look back before that, so 4 years ago, they grew by 7%. This helps put in some context for when we look ahead. So looking ahead, the company's Q1 revenue is expected to jump about 8% based on our Zacks estimates, with its bottom line projected to climb about 11% to $1.53 per share. And then if we look further ahead, the company is expected to climb 9% this year and another 11% in FY2022. With its adjusted earnings expected to climb about 11% and 13% respectively over that same period. So some solid top and bottom line growth. Microsoft has also seen some positive longer term revisions on the bottom line recently to help it grab its Zacks rank number 2 buy at the moment. The company also boasts a great management team that helps it consistently top our quarterly earnings estimates by a comfortable margin. This includes a 10% average beat over the trailing 4 quarters. Microsoft also holds a B grade for growth in our style score system. And we should also note that it last reported that it held around $137 billion in cash equivalents. This gives it the ability to continue to make those acquisitions we talked about. And in mid-September, the company announced that it raised its dividend by 10%. And it's currently yielding about 1.04% at the moment, which tops the 10-year U.S. Treasury. And it tops Apple, which we're going to get to, at about 0.72%. The stock also trades at a discount in terms of against its industry, in terms of forward earnings, as it has for years. And its discounted valuation comes despite the fact that it's destroyed its broader industry over the past 5 years, up about 300% versus about 110% for that broader tech space. And Microsoft has also matched Apple over this stretch, and the stock's up about 50% in the last year. So overall, as I always mention, if you're looking to play any stock for near-term gains following earnings, that's always a riskier bet because you never know how Wall Street's going to react, even to the best of reports. And amid all of this uncertainty with the election just a week away and an increase in some coronavirus cases in the U.S. and around the world, if you're looking for near-term gains, it's a little more risky. You might want to just hold off. But longer-term investors, if you have a year outlook or more, it is certainly always worth considering buying Microsoft as it's able to expand in all of these various spaces we talked about, from personal computing and its Office 365 unit and Teams and cloud computing and gaming. And it has all the cash in the world to continue to acquire companies that it sees as being able to help it grow for the future. So as I said, Microsoft is certainly worth paying attention to. It reports after the bell on Tuesday. So maybe just wait until after the bell and see how Wall Street reacts over the next couple of days before you consider scooping up Microsoft stock, even though it certainly appears to be worth considering as a longer term investment. And now we're going to go ahead and take a look at Apple ahead of its release. It's releasing its fourth quarter fiscal 2020 financial results after the closing bell on Thursday, October 29th, so this upcoming Thursday. We should note that Apple stock has fallen since its October 12 event that showcased its new lineup of 5G-enabled iPhones. More recently, Wall Street has also turned its attention to the U.S. Justice Department's antitrust lawsuit against Alphabet Inc. in Google that partly focuses on its relationship with Apple. So despite these concerns, it's far from certain that the lawsuit will truly shake up Google or Apple. And of course, Google said it's going to fight back against the lawsuit, and the litigation could take years and years. And it's also worth noting that Alphabet stock actually climbed this past week despite the official antitrust lawsuit coming out last week. So we'll quickly just go over the antitrust overview before we dive into Apple and what's going on with its new iPhone 12s and what to expect going forward, just because it's worth noting, because there's obviously some broader concerns. So Google relies heavily on search traffic from iPhones, where its flagship search engine is currently the default on Apple's Safari phone browser. The two tech giants don't release the financial significance of this mutually beneficial relationship. That said, the report projects that Google pays Alphabet between $8 to $10 billion a year to be the default search engine on its iOS devices. We should note that the DOJ lawsuit projects that this partnership accounts for between 15 to 20% of Apple's annual profits. I've seen that figure come in lower at around 10%. So it's a little unclear, but it clearly represents a decent chunk of Apple's profits based on all of the reporting I've seen and what the lawsuit says itself. So obviously, it is certainly worth watching for both sides. These are big numbers, and the situation needs to be monitored. That said, Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Facebook have all been under increased government scrutiny, not just in the United States, but in the UK and elsewhere, over the last several years, and it hasn't prevented any of their stocks from climbing to new highs. And we just mentioned their earnings outlook continues to improve as part of that broader tech space. So that just that shows you something, that Wall Street is clearly monitoring this, but they cannot be that concerned if these stocks are continuing to climb over the last several years, knowing that there is a real possibility of these lawsuits coming out, which this one just did. So once again, continue to monitor that situation if you're at all interested in Apple or Alphabet stock. And now we're going to move on to its iPhone. So Apple's newest iPhone officially became available this past Friday, October 23rd. The iPhone 12 is its first 5G capable phone, and it will be available in four models at various price points. The company priced its higher-end models at roughly the same price as last year's iPhone 11, despite the new features and its 5G capabilities. And the reasoning seems somewhat clear. 5G is still in the early days, and AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile and its ilk still have miles to go before the next generation wireless network reaches anything near what the current network does. So therefore, the price point helps entice consumers to buy the new iPhone, despite what many tech analysts and industry experts continue to say are somewhat standard updates to features such as the camera and battery life. So the next generation wireless network will certainly play a key role in the future, and the company is prepared to benefit from this transition. So it's likely trying to entice investors to consider buying the iPhone 12 for its 5G capabilities, and then maybe this continues to benefit them down the road when 5G becomes more robust. It's also worth remembering that Apple, as we just sort of alluded to, is one of the best marketers in retail history, and it remains the world's most valuable brand, and this is according to Forbes. So just for instance, the ability for a high-end consumer tech firm to lift its sales by 11% last quarter to $60 billion in the heart of a global pandemic and economic crisis, it's pretty impressive, and analysts have said that the pre-order numbers for the iPhone 12 Pro have been strong across all of the markets. So if we just quickly look back to last quarter, iPhone sales popped slightly, which was better than expected. We also saw Mac and iPad sales come in pretty high, and its wearables unit, which includes its Apple Watch, that smartwatch, and those popular AirPod headphones, helped that unit climb 17%, while its services business climbed 15%. So the expansion of these other business helps show that the company's commitment to expanding beyond the iPhone is going to help it grow for years to come. So the company now has revenue streams from its App Store and its subscription services, which includes Apple Music, its relatively new streaming TV service, news offerings, video gaming, and more. So last quarter, Apple said that its paid subscriptions grew by more than 35 million sequentially to over 550 million paid subscriptions. And executives said last quarter on its earnings call that they expect to hit their increased target of 600 million global paid subscriptions by the end of calendar 2020. So they're going to have more than half a billion subscriptions, 600 million subscriptions, by the end of calendar 2020 is what company executives are calling for. And some other fundamentals we're going to look at. Apple closed last quarter, similar to Microsoft. It closed it with $81 billion in net cash, and returned over $21 billion to shareholders via dividends and buybacks. So this cash position is going to help Apple continue to reward investors with buybacks and dividends. Its dividend currently rests at about 0.72%, which is a little bit below the 10-year U.S. Treasury, which has seen its yield climb in recent weeks. The income seems at this point sort of like an added bonus for a company that's been on such a massive run and it's still expanding its portfolio. And I forgot to mention earlier that part of its growth plan is it's continuing to try to bring more of its chips in-house. The move is projected to help cut costs and improve battery life and performance, and should be relatively important for years to come. At the moment, Apple is trading at about 6.4 times forward sales. This marks only a slight premium to its industry and represents a discount to Microsoft in terms of that forward sales figure, whereas Microsoft's trading below that in terms of earnings. Apple stock is up about 90% in the past year and 60% in the last 6 months. Despite this strong performance, Apple is hovering about 12% or so off its early September highs, which clearly gives the stock some room to run. And we should note that the stock soared after its 4-for-1 stock split announcement. It's a cosmetic move. The company had done it before, and it's trying to help its shares seem more attractive and more attainable. It's a better word, attainable to more investors. And so, for instance, the stock closed regular trading Friday at $115 per share, which clearly, just on its face, obviously, stock price alone is not the most significant factor, but Amazon trades at $3,200 per share, so $3,200 per share. And right now, Alphabet stock is trading at about $1,600 per share under that GOOGL ticker, compared to $115 for Apple. So that's just going to, the average retail investor, it's going to be much more attractive to buy more shares of Apple than, say, perhaps one share of Amazon or something like that. So that's just worth continuing to remember. And now we're going to go ahead and sort of take a look at what to expect from the company going forward. It's worth noting that the pandemic pushed back the release of Apple's next generation iPhone that we just talked about, the iPhone 12. So this saw it launch in late October, as we just mentioned, in not late September, which it had been used to doing. So this will likely boost its Q1 fiscal 2021 sales and hinder its upcoming fourth quarter results. So that might skew some of the year-over-year outlook numbers. And obviously, we should note that the success of its non-iPhone business helps make up for the seasonality of its flagship iPhone. So with this in mind, our Zacks estimates are calling for Apple's adjusted Q4 earnings to dip by about 9% on 0.5% lower revenue. With this in mind, the company's overall fiscal 2021 fiscal 20 adjusted earnings per share is expected to climb 5% on or 9% on 5% stronger sales. That would see it hit $273 billion. So still expect to climb 5% this year on the top line. And then if we look ahead to fiscal 2021, its revenue is expected to climb over 15% higher above our current year estimate, all the way to $315 billion. So up from what we're calling for $273 this year, all the way up to $315 in 2021, with its adjusted earnings expected to come in 24% higher next year. So some big top and bottom line growth is expected next year after some solid growth is expected on its soon to be reported end of year results. Apple at the moment is a Zacks rank number 3 hold heading into its upcoming earnings release. And clearly, as we just mentioned with Microsoft, near term uncertainty might cause more reason for a little bit of caution. But overall, if you're a longer-term investor, it seems like it might be a pretty solid idea to consider buying Apple at the moment, either of these stocks, because they're the two biggest companies in the world. They have that outsized influence on all of these indexes. And Apple is currently sitting at about a 12% discount. And whether you like it or not, people are addicted to their iPhones, they're addicted to their apps, they're addicted to the technology as a whole. So both of these stocks appear to be worth considering as a longer term investment. And it's unlikely that a year from now, unless things go dramatically different, that you won't be at least glad you have one of these two stocks as a sort of a large cap, big tech anchor to a diversified portfolio. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.